Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's Ariel Mangli here on Screaming Reels. Welcome back. The time now is 11 minutes past 8, and as promised, we will be having an interview, inshallah, with Farad Ayub from Durban. He does the harbor fishing, etc. But before we go on to him, inshallah, a little bit about the holidays. The ulama always saying, make your holidays into holy days. And one of the most important things that we need to remember when going out, inshallah, is that we are Muslims, and our behavior and our manner should always reflect that we are Muslims, inshallah. So make sure that we always dress appropriately. Another very important issue when it comes to going on holiday is safety. Make sure that you do take precautions when you are going out anywhere. If you are going out to the beach, lots of sunscreen. Keep yourself very, very well hydrated, especially when you are fishing, etc. Sometimes you're fishing on the rocks or you're fishing on the surf, and you forget to drink water, and this is a common feature. And then you go back to your hotel or your flat or whatever it is, and then you find you're feeling nauseous and you have headaches, etc. And these are all signs of heat stroke. So make sure you take care, wear sun cap when you are going out into the sun. Some of the days are extremely hot. If you anticipate some rain, make sure that you carry a light rain jacket as well. Rocks and different surface areas that get wet can become very slippery. Ensure that you have good shoes that have good grip, etc. And make sure that the kids especially are well hydrated, that they are also covered up. Southern Africa's sunlight or the heat from the sun can be extremely dangerous. So make sure that you take care of yourself. on the line now, alhamdulillah, we've got Farad Ayub to join us. Farad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Adi?
Alhamdulillah, Farad. How's the weather in Durban?
It's a beautiful morning. It's overcast. There was some rain. There's rain. Light showers expected right through the day. But, Durban weather's now become very unpredictable. So I can see over the Bluff Mountain here, I can see that the clouds are starting to clear up. So inshallah, it'll be a very, very nice day to fish.
Where are you now exactly?
I'm actually just down by the boat. I've got a charter going out at about 8:30 or so. It's some guys from Mpumalanga. It's a first time experience for them.
Mm.
So inshallah, I'm hoping that they it's a good experience and they catch some fish.
Inshallah, what sort of fishing do you guys plan to do today? Is it deep sea or bay fishing?
It's just bay fishing. The guys, they've admitted that they don't have the stomach to go out to sea, so they suggested that we just fish in the bay. The fishing in the bay has improved. There's a lot of fish around. There is a lot of grunt around, some decent sized ones. In this week, we caught a couple that were over 3 kilos. But quite a few fish every outing.
Okay, so it's not completely dry.
No. It's actually, the last few days have been very windy. But also the tide is in our favor this week. It's growing spring into spring tide, and then you have the few days after spring before it goes into the nip again. Generally, when the tide is bigger in the spring tide, the fishing is much better.
Mm. So that tell us a little bit, before we go into the boat fishing, lots of people are on holiday at the moment in that area, in the Durban area, north coast, right down to the south coast. Whoever's listening to the program today, what sort of tips can you give them in terms of fishing? And, one particular thing that I must mention is a lot of people don't know this, is that you actually need a license to go and fish when you are in Durban. So just take us through a little bit of that.
Okay, the license can be bought at the post office. It costs about 85 rand. It's an annual license. You do get one that's monthly. It costs around about 65 rand. Mm. You got to have one in your possession. Then that allows you to fish off the designated fishing areas. It also allows you to fish off a boat. Then obviously your baits, your fishing tackle and stuff. You know, if you're fishing on the surf, if you're fishing, off a pier, you gotta make sure you've got the right equipment. If you're on the beach, rock and surf, you gotta, have at least a minimum 12-foot rod. This helps give you a bit of leverage when you're casting and also when you're trying to pull your sinker over the rocks. It gives you that little leverage. Baits, you can buy baits from the fishing tackle shops. Best suggested fishing tackle shop in Durban is Fisherman's Warehouse. He keeps a wide range of fishing tackle and baits as well. It's like your one-stop shop. There's legal baits like your sardine, your squid, your choker, your prawn, your sugar mackerel, jack mackerel. Those are like your legal baits that allows you to fish off your fishing license. Then you get bait restrictions, which you gotta buy those licenses separate on your fishing license. You get the sand prawn, which you know has a cracker. Mm-hmm. Then you get mussels, sea lice, and other like this tapeworm and stuff like that there that your license covers. That basically covers you in terms of being legal when you are fishing. You would get checked up, generally the parks water around early in the morning because there is still some shad around on the beach. So they just normally go around early in the morning. If you're in the bay, the parks water is normally around on the low tide because they're looking for guys that are, digging the sand prawn illegally. The guys that sell at the boom gates and stuff. So yeah, that's basically it.
Tell me, Farad, if you are going out shed fishing, and most people that are on holiday, they just basically got to have a rod, like you said, minimum about 10 to 12 foot, and they can buy a shed place from any one of the fishing tackle shops there, etc. What are the best times of catching shed, and what are the restrictions regarding shed?
Okay, the best times is early morning or on the change of tide. You've got to be out there first light. Your line's got to be in the water at first light. It also does depend on the tide as well. Like now currently the water's going out. I think low tide's about 9:30. So maybe when the water turns around midday, then you'll get a few shad. The restrictions on shad is 4 per person a day. Providing he has a valid fishing license, and the size is 30 centimeters.
So you've got to have, do they normally supply you sort of like a ruler or something like that you could use?
Yes. You normally get a measuring tape, a ruler, you know, with the different species of fish and the size, normally from the fishing tackle shop. Sometimes the parks will just hand them out for free, a ruler. And then you can it also stipulates the seasons for fish, for the shad seasons, the close, the band season, and also other fish as well. It also stipulates the band or the close season for it.
You were talking about grunter earlier on from the boat. Are there any restrictions on grunter as well?
Yes, there is a bag limit on grunter. The size of grunter needs to be 40 centimeters. And you are restricted to 5 a day.
Okay. And what other species can you catch from the boat if you are in the bay?
You can get the Natal stumpnose, the silver salmon, snapper salmon. You get the small the sand soldiers, the Constantina, which some guys call it a kitefish. This time of the year, there's kingfish around. That's basically it, eh?
What about sharks?
There's been plenty of hammerhead sharks around. Not big hammerhead sharks, but around about, I would say about 50 centimeters or so. And every outing I've been out this week, we caught at least 2 hammerhead sharks of that size. So, if the baby's around, the mummy's got to be around somewhere.
Let's go now into the boat fishing, particularly looking at the charter. You offer three types of packages. What are they?
Okay, one is the Bay Charter. That is for 5 hours. I can supply bait and tackle to the clients that hire the boat. I'll take 10 people, maximum 11, if the clients ask me for an extra space. That's the one type of fishing. The second type of fishing is backline fishing, which is also I take 10 people there. Bait and tackle can be supplied there as well. And then the third is deep sea. Deep sea, there's a variety of different types of fishing. One is top water day, where we pull conures and we trawl, you know, for your top water fish. And the other is bottom fishing. That is, I take 8 guys over there and it's for 8 hours. And it's all depending on what they want to do. If they want to pull lures for half the time and fish bottom for the other half, it's fine by me. We can split it like that.
Now, this time of the year, how busy do you get?
Relatively busy. Generally, with the guys from Gilbert, they all want to catch the dream fish. This time of the year, there is game fish around. There's a lot of dorado around this year. There is a few wahoos and stuff. But I haven't heard of any sailfish or marlin that has been hooked or landed yet. But I'm sure, inshallah, next month they should be around. It does get quite busy. I mean, you know, with all the holidaymakers looking to do something exciting, something different, being out there in the water, experiencing fishing off a boat, experiencing catching a fish in the sea in comparison to catching a fish in the dam. I know you've been with me a few times, and you know what. If you fish in the bay, the excitement and the fight the Atlantic gives you.
Mm.
In comparison to what you get in the dam.
No, definitely a big change there. Farad, what other amenities can you provide on the boat for people coming? Do you think it's advisable, for example, if a family would like to go out for the day's fishing?
Yes, I do take families out, with kids and the whole family and stuff. There's also I do have a friend here that owns a restaurant, Halal Foods. So if they need to have lunch and stuff, we generally order the food and I just pick it up. Or alternatively, we can do a braai on the boat. But you know, doing a braai on the boat on a 5-hour charter eats up like 2 hours of the time.
Mm.
So that's what I do offer. And obviously, a great experience for the youngsters and for the family members, you know, that they can take back to Joburg or wherever they've come from.
I've got a WhatsApp message that's come through. Somebody wants to know what's the contact details.
Okay, you can contact me on 073-140-8507.
Let me just get that number clearly here. It's 073-140-8507. 073-140-8507. That's Farad Ayub of, is it Fish On?
It's Hook Up.
Sorry. It's Hook Up Charters in Durban. And if you would like to go with him for a day's fishing, something different to take the family, to go and try your luck at some fishing in the bay, or if you have the stomach for it, maybe do a little bit of deep sea, or backline. Farad, before we go, what's the rates?
All right, for the bay, if you need bait and tackle supplied, I'm talking like, you just jump in, jump off. For 11 people, it's for the bay, it's 2,000 rands. For backline, jump in, jump off is 2,500. And then deep sea, jump in, jump off, it's 5,200 rands.
Okay, and per person, what are we looking at if we don't charter the whole boat?
Per person, it's for the bay, it's 180 rands. Sorry, you're looking with tackle and stuff, eh? For the bay.
I'm thinking of people who have come on holiday and they're looking for things to do, yeah.
All right. Well, the price will vary depending on what the people, what the clients have brought with them. You know, if they brought their own fishing tackle and stuff like that, it'll just vary for the bay between 180 and 200 rands, and from for the backline between 200 and 230 rand a person. But for deep sea, it's standard. It's just 650 a person.
650.
Yeah, for 8 hours.
Okay. Excellent stuff, Farad. Always great chatting to you, inshallah. If Allah Ta'ala wills, I do plan on coming to the coast within the in the next week. So maybe next weekend we can be doing the program live from your boat.
Inshallah. Inshallah.
You keep well, Farad. Jazakallah so much for that. Inshallah, I will chat to you when I get to Durban. Just another note for listeners, if you want to communicate with Farad Ayub of Hookup Charters, his number is 073-140-8507, and you can call him and he'll tell you exactly when you know he's available. There are different shifts that you can go on in the morning, in the afternoon. And there's one particular one that's my favorite called the graveyard shift, where you leave at 12 and you're back by Fajr time. Farad, Jazakallah so much for that. Inshallah, we'll chat to you later.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The time now is 27 minutes past 8. We are just about to go for another ad break, but I'm very, very excited because I'm not alone in the studio anymore. I've got Brother Farooq Hassan here, and he's brought a whole lot of books and notes and maps. I'm sure he's got something very exciting planned for us. So we will chat to him, inshallah, after this ad break.
Grand Auctioneers. Auctions held at our various branches weekly. We auction cars, buckies, and branded appliances. Tuesdays in Randburg at Worldway Building at 11:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m. Corner Rose and Nirvana Drive, Lanesha. And on Saturdays in Vereeniging at the City Hall at 1 p.m. Grand Auctioneers. Look out for our massive branded appliance auction in Lanesha. Date to be confirmed. For more info, call 011-852-5971. All welcome. T's and C's apply.
Please hold it over here on my right.
Get ready for summer by shopping at Lanesha Fashion Palace. Our summer trends are scorching hot, but our prices won't burn you. Save money on all designer brands of clothing, footwear, and accessories. For fashionable couture that caters for all, dress your children in the best brands. Hurry down to the Fashion Palace. Shop 161 Grand Place, Lanesha, or call 011-854-5091 for a shopping experience that never ends.
Welcome back to Screaming Reels, and as promised, we've got Farooq Hassan in the studio with us today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Farooq?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners. Alhamdulillah, I'm well, Adil. Nice to see you around. I believe I thought you would have been on holiday already.
You know, it's so funny you're saying that to me, because in Azadwal, when I go to the masjid, the guys, they keep on putting their hands up and they're asking, like, what are you still doing around, you know? I suppose people can see the recession is quite bad, you know. It's not. It's nice to be a school teacher, alumni. You get lots of holidays, but you don't always have the money to spend in the holidays. I will go, inshallah. I plan to leave in the week. I want to do a trip down to the coast, you know, and do some fishing, etc. Last week when we were talking, you gave us, you know, a little bit of a brief on the Khalakhadi and what goes on there, and you know, and obviously we went sort of into the parks itself, and one of the questions I asked you is that you know, people choose sometimes a different kind of a holiday, and this is what we're actually opening up to them, is the possibility of, you know, not having a coastal holiday, and what are the advantages of that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, what we're going to do, I don't know how much, if we're going to have enough time to go through everything. We'd like to discuss maybe a few of the national parks. Remember, they're not all of them are inland parks. But maybe we can start off from where we left off last week. Remember that the trip we undertook was not just to the Khalakhadi, but we happened to visit, alhamdulillah, the Okhrabis Falls National Park as well. So we can maybe touch on a little bit of that, and then we can go to, we can start off maybe with a few of the more popular holiday destinations, which national park is close by there, and what activities can the listeners expect in those parks, and what to look out for in those parks.
Okay.
Something was actually very interesting on our way down to the Galagadi was just before we got to the town Kuruman. My son shouted from the back of the kumbi, you know, that his ustad mentioned to him that if we in Kuruman, we must visit this place called the Eye. I've never heard of it before. And coincidentally, just as we entered the town, you know, this board caught my eye, and we decided to turn in and go and have a look. When we got to this place, you know, Adil, it's quite funny. We don't know what is this. We just got the name, the Eye. We get to the gate, and I ask this, is it the security or the gate watch, whatever it was, what is this place all about, and what do I expect to see here? Remember, this is now already in the town, right? So you don't expect much. And this guy says, like, you know, with great enthusiasm, you can see fish. Now, which was quite funny, you know, we think, why is he so enthusiastic about saying you can see fish? I mean, we can see fish anywhere. But remember now, we're in the town in the Kalahari. So I suppose for them, you know, it's something to have fish in the town. And when we got into this place, you know, I don't regret it at all. When he said fish, you really see fish. You know, and I'm telling you this, there's a little pond there which is clear. The water is absolutely clear. You can probably look about 10 meters into the pond and you see the bottom of it.
Mm.
And the fish you see there is enough to get any fisherman's fingers itching, you know. There's carp, barbel, and I promise you there's some blue carper which measure between 40 and 50 centimeters in length. And this place, this water is absolutely clear. Now, the Eye is actually the center of the town of Kuruman. It's been built around the Eye.
Okay.
This place, it's actually the largest natural fountain in the southern hemisphere.
Okay.
Right. It supplies about 20 million liters of water a day.
And this is groundwater.
This is groundwater.
Okay.
Coming out of the ground. So it's supplying, well, basically the whole town
is using
this water, and it's the source of the Kuruman River. Which was something spectacular to see, you know, and there you've got this natural water coming out from the fountain water, and actually very sweet water because we drank some of it as well. Although you don't see the entire fountain coming out because obviously they probably had pumps and whatever it is, pump into the reservoirs and start the start of the river. But there is this little bit of a waterfall supplying this pond, and it's just something if anybody is around in the area, it's really something to see.
Now, wait, before you go on, I'm picturing a desert. Am I way off? Is there vegetation around this pond, etc.?
Okay, remember the pond is now in town.
Okay.
So there is a little bit of vegetation around there, but it's mostly big trees. This is going back now to the early 1900s where this place has been founded.
Okay.
So there is a little bit of vegetation, but remember now you're in the town. So the whole town is getting its water from this here. But if you go out of town, you're in semi-desert. You know, you're reaching temperatures of the mid to upper 30s.
Mm.
Vegetation very sparse. That's something I just would have liked to share with listeners about this place
it's
called
Eye. It's quite amazing. It's quite amazing to actually come into the middle of this. Is it like a one house, one town, one horse,
no,
one
field? No, it's a big town. Apparently, it's got about believed to have over 9,000 inhabitants.
Sure.
So it's not really a small place, though.
Okay,
you know,
right.
it's a busy little town. And then we carried on the journey. We got something I found quite interesting was when we got to the town of Upington. You know. Before you get to this town, you're driving on these long roads, and all you see on the side is very sparse vegetation. Now you're coming from semi-desert into almost desert, where you see a lot of rock, and now you start seeing sand dunes as well. On the right of the road, you basically see brown, which is now the grass that's dried and the sparse vegetation. And if you look on the left, for about 200-300 meters in, you see the same thing that you see on the right, and then you see a green belt running parallel to the road.
Mm.
And beyond that green belt, if you look a little bit further, you see brown again. And that green belt is actually the Orange River and whatever's happening next week. And all you see along the Orange River is grape plantations.
Grape.
I tell you, grapes like you haven't seen.
Okay.
Very interesting is that everything is using, they're all utilizing the water from the Orange River. And why I'm saying this is I'm going to tell you now when we get to what we're talking about, the falls, what's happening here. And very interesting is that the irrigation that they use is more like a canal irrigation, which what we hear happens along the Nile River.
Right.
Where you see these canals running alongside the road and on the perimeters of these vineyards. What they do is they flood these canals from the river and they use the sluice system. Where they open the sluices and it floods the vineyards. So that's how they get their grape plantations irrigated. And on all along from there, Ograbis is just over 100 kilometers from Upington. And all along the Orange River, this is what you see, these vineyards. You know, you see the Orange River flowing quite strongly close to Upington. But when you get to the Ograbis, it's very disappointing at this time, is that you expect to see this waterfall. You know, Ograbis is actually derived from the Khoi word Okurabis, which means a place of great noise.
Okay.
So you expect to hear this noise, you know, and see this mist spray. But the falls at this time is actually it's flowing very, very slow. So now you sit and you wonder now, you know, we expected to see so much because we saw the Orange River flowing. And here you see this flow down the falls. And it's actually now the irrigation and whatever's happening alongside the Orange River, what has been utilized to such a great extent that it actually takes its toll down at the falls.
So losing the power.
It's losing a lot of it. Mm. Coming out, discussing the... We've got a caller on the line.
Yeah, we've got a caller on the line. Usama just telling us that we've got a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Gee, welcome to Screaming Reels. Maaf, what do you want to share with us?
I just want to ask you something. I don't know, advice. I think my son wants to go to Ponta Toro.
Yes.
I just want to know which is the best road to take from Kamatipo to Swaziland. But I don't know, he doesn't know first time they're going there.
Ponta Toro.
Ponta is actually the southernmost point of Mozambique.
See? So if you go to the Cozy Bay,
you can... What kind of vehicle are you traveling with?
Nissan X-Trail.
4x4, you got low range?
No, yeah, I think 4x2.
Your best bet would probably be through Komatipoort, go down to Maputo and travel south to Ponta.
But I don't know, is it, somebody said to Swaziland, is it too long or?
I haven't traveled the Swaziland road, but I would think that closer, just out of the Swaziland border, you may be traveling in a bit of sand on the Mozambican side.
Okay. Because they're going to the Kruger National Park first, and from there they want to go to Ponta do Ouro.
Gee, from the Kruger Park, you can come out at Crocodile Bridge.
Crocodile Bridge.
Komatipoort is about 10, 12 k's, I think, from there. You can cross over and then travel down south towards Ponta.
Okay, JazakAllah for you.
Ameen.
Welcome,
Salaam alaikum.
Excellent stuff there. It's good to have Farooq here in studio to share that. If you actually want to ask any questions, the lines are open. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. We have with us in studio the Sandparks Honorary Rangers. It's the South.
Am I right? Johannesburg
South Chairperson. Am I right, Farooq? In studio, and we are currently talking about some of the parks on the western part of the country. We have been to Khalakhadi already, and now we are moving towards Ograbis. And you were just saying that you get to the falls, and then it's not It's not
it's actually very disappointing, not what you expect. But actually, it's a beautiful park to see. Very rocky, and you know, if you really look at it, you look at the rock structures. It's you see Allah Ta'ala's creation. Some of the rocks look like they've been placed there on purpose. You know, it's like packed on top of each other. Not very much of a game viewing experience. It's more the natural beauty that you see. There's some gorges where you can drive into the park, and there's two places. There's one place, a viewpoint called Aranyakom, and another place called Ararat, where they have these decks where you can look at the gorge of the Orange River. And you wonder now, how long has this river been flowing like this here to be able to cut through these gorges, or what could have caused this?
What sort of height are we looking at some of the highest points?
I mean, they reckon that at the flood, not at the flood, when the falls are flowing quite strongly, it's about a 56-meter drop.
Sure.
Now, if you look at these viewpoints, it's approximately in the region of about 40 to 50 meters height. Really beautiful, stunning natural beauty. And then there's another place in the park as well called Echo Corner, where you get off, and if you shout out aloud, you actually hear this echo, you know,
okay.
Something that we used to see in the movies, and now you actually have this, and you know, it was quite...
What's very interesting is that you're opening up a completely new world of travel in this country, and it's amazing because you talk about irrigation systems similar to the Nile. You're talking about these gorges that are that deep, you know, this Echo Corner. It's amazing. People just go to the beach.
Yes, you know, it's something we don't realize, that we have the stunning natural beauty in this country, you know, and we don't explore it. Because, like we mentioned last week, very stereotyped that at this time here it's Durban, you know, or Cape Town, or one of the coastal regions. But maybe we should start exploring the natural beauty. We understand that many people, you know, it's the only time you get to go out, and you would like to visit the beach, you know, but maybe we should start exploring, spend a few more days, you know, and visit these places. And
what sort of planning goes into something like this?
You know, Ali, we actually didn't do any planning. Just we knew that we go into the Khalakhadi, and we thought, while we are there, let's visit the Okhrabis Falls at the same time. It's like any other holiday. You would carry your food, your prime meat. Remember, you don't get much in those areas.
Right.
Upington does have a small Muslim community. I haven't seen any place where you would get halal meat, but we just basically drove through it. There's a masjid in Upington, and you carry basically like we would carry on any other holiday. Unfortunately, it's not like a Durban holiday where you know you're going to get halal food, so you don't have to cater for every meal, or you don't have to take food for every meal. But your braai meat and carries you.
And another thing I want to ask you, in terms of it being South Africa, I mean, I've traveled in Mozambique and in Zimbabwe and in certain other countries in Africa, but being in South Africa, our roads are good.
The roads up to the park is very good. In fact, in that parts of the Cape, I haven't seen one pothole. So
okay.
The roads are very well maintained. It's just in the park, like we mentioned last week, in the Khalakhadi, we drove for a while because of the corrugation of the roads in that. In the Okhrabis, the roads are gravel, but not in a bad condition. Actually,
okay.
Very nice roads.
So, because obviously the next question, many people will argue that, no, we're not doing that because we don't have the vehicle.
You don't really. For this particular park, you can visit it in a normal sedan. Not a problem at all.
Okay. Looks like it's funny, the lines are going wild today. We've got a caller, another caller.
People in holiday mood.
Give us a listen out here. We've got another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Screaming Reels.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
I'm speaking from Pamrij. I was there 2 weeks ago in the same place that you've been to. It's a very nice holiday.
Which area are you talking about?
We stayed in Upington.
Right.
But we stayed in Sun River Lodge, it's called. And they've got the river runs right through the lodge. And they have this apartment that is so beautiful that they have, you know, it's very relaxing. And then we drove out to the game park, but like you said, the falls is dry. And the game park is very beautiful. They got this one place, they got this moon stone. I don't know if you've seen that.
Moon rock.
The moon rocks, yeah. Mm. It's so Allah's kudrat. You just admire the kudrat of Allah.
Mm.
And then we, while we were traveling that way, then we put that Maulana Ehsan Qasim Mohsin's Nizams. And you drive through the whole Kalahari. It's so nice. It's so, it's just a different experience. Alhamdulillah, it was a nice place where we stayed also. And you know, this little bit pot style they have. They have some beautiful things also. And then where we stayed in Upington, they have this dry fruit place, which is very, very fresh also.
Mm.
So we had a nice experience, different experience. It was nice to be out that side. Now you relax. You don't see the beach, but it's very relaxing for a nice holiday. So I'm just listening to your programs. I also enjoyed the program. And the week before last, we were there. We had a nice drive to there. But yeah, like you said, the time gets very hot in when you're driving. We also had a puncture. But then I'm sure we fix it and we carry it on. And Upington is a nice little place. It's very clean also.
Hmm.
So this is where you all stayed at?
We actually stayed in the Kalahari Reserve. And then we moved over. We stayed at the Ohrabis National Park.
Yeah, but the reserve is very clean. Yeah, sand parks really look after it. Although it's such a lot of kilometers inside.
Gee, it's actually, you know, if you look at
the... They're that wild animals. They're not actually the tame animals. But it was really, really nice. It was a very good experience. I went to Kruger National Park. It's different. And this is quite different also. Yeah,
definitely.
The drive there, it's a distance from home, but it's nice. It's like something different also. Okay, nice having listening to that. We've been there, now we know what you're talking about.
Jazakallah so much for sharing.
Actually, I'm not a fisherman or anything, but I enjoy your programs every morning.
Jazakallah for sharing that with us.
Assalamualaikum.
It's quite refreshing to hear that people are going to these places and actually enjoying it.
Alhamdulillah, very, very nice of the... of sister to call in. One thing I must mention is the staff in these parts of the country, or these parts of these parks, as compared to the Kruger, the friendliness is unparalleled, you know. And if you look at the type of accommodation you get here as compared to the Kruger, it's much more well kept and more in order, and it's not as busy as the Kruger.
We've got time just for one caller, and then we'll Farooq, we actually wait for callers. Today we've excited them somehow or the other. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rabbi Adil, how are you?
Mulana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
They said the sporty Mulana. Mulana Akudi, how are you keeping? Mulana Musa Akudi.
And how's our brother Farooq?
Alhamdulillah. Well, alhamdulillah. How are you keeping, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah. Thumma alhamdulillah. Now, you people speaking about this route and you're just bringing back some memories. You know, Adil's uncle, Maulana Mangli, and myself, together with Maulana's son and my son, we went up to, you know, we left from here towards the evening, and then I remember we read our Isha Salat in Swaiza Renika. And here we had this 4x4 with all the rods on top of the 4x4, the Toyota Hilux. And everybody was so, you know, excited at the masjid in Swaiza Renika. And then we went down to Upington. Now, when you spoke about Upington, you know, for our listeners, I want to tell you that when you're traveling, I learned something with Maulana Mangli, man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. You know, there's no need to rush when you are traveling, and we should take a day and a half to get into Namibia. But early in the morning, we would reach Upington. And you will never witness something like this here. We'll open up the trailer, take out our chairs, put the braai stand on, and we're having a sizzling braai, you know, just after Fajr Namaz. And then you can get the whiff of lovely, fresh rolls from the bakery. And we wait for the bakery to open up, and then we get these rolls. And we're sitting there in Upington, you know, in a little bit of a park-like place, and we're having a braai fajr time. Oh, and I can remember that. It takes us a day and a half plus longer to get right into Namibia, because from Upington now, Brother Farooq has been telling us all about the Ohrabis and everything. They're probably going down south. We go now down towards the west coast of Namibia, and then we, you know, go past the mining town of Luderitz, and then we went to Swakopmund, and from Swakopmund, Walvis Bay, Swakopmund, those particular places. It was fascinating, man. And you know, at night, you know, there would be a roadblock, and then it was on two occasions when we went that they would tell you, please be careful, there's a lot of kudu on the road. And actually, you'll be driving at about 10 to 20 kilometers an hour because you'll find these hundreds of kudus just looking at you from the side of the road. I don't know if anybody's spoken about the fishing out in Namibia, but, you know, there were times when I would have to say, you know what, enough is enough, please, because we wouldn't be able to take this fish back again. Well, there's a place known as Palkies, and we had some fantastic fishing there, man. And one of the highlights of the trip was, I remember when I told Brother Ismail early in the morning, Maulana's son, I said, you know what, where did we ever eat fish fresh from the sea? And it was windy, and we put the scuttlebury in the back of the bucky, put it on, you know, under the canopy, in the canopy, and then we had this cob, and we slit them open, the live herrings inside. They were feeding in the morning, throw the herrings back, and just lemon, butter, salt, and pepper, and we fried it in the scuttlebury. Well, I'm telling you something to think about. So I give you, Brother Farooq is just bringing back memories when he speaks about Upington. But we went in a different direction, so I said, let me just share that with you. It was a wonderful trip that we had. We went on two occasions, but the other trip when we went a big group, and I remember my nephew and them just telling me we need to make a trip towards the west coast in Namibia again, you know.
Excellent share there with us, Maulana. Obviously, it's always a pleasure to hear about it. I think the important thing is that we tend to want to get to our destination so quickly that we sometimes forget the journey, and there's so much of excitement in the journey itself, you know, just to take it easy and take in whatever it is. You know, by the way, Farooq was also explaining all of the scenery, you know, and the beauty of this country that we live in. We don't even know about some of these things here.
No, when we leave from Upington after our breakfast braai, you know, then we carry on. I think it's a place called Carasburg. And then we would reach there at Usher time. We get at Usher time there, we go to the trucker section at the back. And you know what, again there, sit and relax, have something to eat. But we go and shower, you know, in the bathrooms there were very, very clean. But no rush to get to your destination. And you know, the drive itself is a holiday. That's the important part. The drive itself is part of the holiday.
Definitely.
Jazakallah, Maulana, for sharing that. It's almost as if like a going nowhere slowly type of a thing.
I don't know if I'm listening for the cob or the breakfast braai more now, but I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a genuine family trend. My late father also. Same thing that he brought us up with. I try to do it with my kids as well. You know, sometimes if you like a place, just stop there for a couple of minutes and take it in, take the beauty of that, and enjoy your journey, and your you know, you'll reach your destination, inshallah, a little bit later, but you would have learned so much more from there. Jazakallah. This is Maulana Musa Akudi. Maulana, you need to actually come in one of the days and give us a full interview. We were looking for you a few weeks ago, but we couldn't find you.
I haven't really gone out fishing. You know, I just took the youngsters out during the week for some bass fishing at a place nearby somebody recommended. And the youngsters caught some small bass, and they were absolutely thrilled. But inshallah, you know... I don't like to go out in this holiday period anywhere. People are very busy. But my son-in-law booked at one of these reserves, nature reserves. Very quiet, that area. It's known as Monateng. But it's near the, I think it's near the Renostalkop Dam, somewhere that side there.
Right.
So we'll see if we can get into some nice kerpa somewhere along the route, you know, inshallah.
Inshallah.
We'll keep you informed, inshallah.
We'll wait for the full report. Jazakallah so much. Maulana Musa Akudi, I'm looking at the time now, Farooq, always. It's like there's never ever enough time. But what I'm thinking, and I'm making a suggestion here, we've got every second week a program. What if we jot down the route that we've been on now, and then perhaps move on from there. Because there's every area that you work in that you go to, there's something exciting
different.
And something interesting.
Yeah, well, we can, inshallah, over the next few programs, just discuss a few of the national parks. There's actually two that really stand out other than those that we have here in the north, those in the south that maybe perhaps listeners would like to visit. And we can actually discuss those in future programs, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah so much, Farooq Hassan. Always a pleasure talking to you. It was an amazing experience. Inshallah, like you say, we will chat in the future. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our program. We will try and get the Screaming Reels program next week should be live from Durban, inshallah, if everything goes well. Stay tuned, inshallah. And coming up now, we have the news. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our wonderful listeners.